Okay, we'll go ahead and call the meeting to order. So if you could all rise and follow in the pledge. Bill, I'll let you lead us today.
Okay. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
So could Mr. Secretary, can you take roll, please?
Yes, sir. Director Zimmer.
Present.
Director Garfinkel.
Yes.
Director Gibson.
I'm here.
And Chairperson Ohilski.
Present. So first item is board member comments. I'm going to lead off on that because I have to leave at 3 because some pending flood issues that I have to address. So hopefully we'll get done. If not, my vice chair will take over here.
Okay. Yep.
Or our vice chair. So do we have any other comments?
I want to let everyone know the RAC is sponsoring a meeting at their the Board of Supervisors Chamber in April 4th. And the topic is to try to explain the legal ramifications of some of the things that are going on with Sigma and land use. And so that's going to be, I think they're going to have 3 lawyers speaking there. And they prepared a set of questions that we want to have, we've asked to have answered. And so we're doing it in the Board of Supervisors Chambers. The notice hasn't gone out yet publicly, but it should go out soon. Because we think we could get a pretty big audience on that.
And we're going to have a basin fringe meeting in Los Osos, but I'm figuring you're going to talk about that, so I won't talk about that. Okay, so any other comments?
No.
Okay, so we have the consent agenda. Does anybody want to pull an item? Okay, so nobody's going to pull in any questions. Any public comment on the consent agenda? Okay, seeing none, we'll close public comment. Can I have a motion for approval, please?
I'll make that motion.
Second.
Okay, moved and seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Aye. Unanimous. Okay, Rob will move to the Executive Director's report.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. You have a written report before you, and I will give you a quick verbal summary of that. We talked a little bit about funding and financing at our last meeting, so I won't belabor it, just to remind folks that as it sits today, we are funding our basin infrastructure programs with rates and charges, but if at any time this group decides that it's time for the community to consider a community-wide funding vote, we will be prepared to kick that into high gear and to get that moving. The Los Osos CSD does have at this time adequate funding in its rates for the next program C well, so there's not an immediate need for that capital funding, but we'll be ready to approach that when necessary. There's a quick Sigma update there, and there's another item on your agenda today for a basin boundary modification. So I'm going to leave a little bit of that for Kathy to talk about. We're in that process of modifying that boundary, and she'll be talking about the pros and cons there and talk a little bit about the coming public meeting that's going to be upon us very soon. As to the Los Osos wastewater project, we finally peaked above 1/2 MGD. That was an exciting milestone. And effluent disposal is continuing to head to the 2 subsurface methods, Broderson and Bay Ridge. To date, we put about 3 acre-foot to Bay Ridge year-to-date and 91 acre-feet to Broderson. We are still seeing that mound developing, and we're watching it closely. It's showing up in key monitoring wells, and at this point, everything is tracking roughly as expected for Broderson. There are a number of properties that are not yet connected to the wastewater system, about 191, and there'll be an enforcement process pending for that. That's a county process, not a BMC function. And the latest update on recycled water in the community is that they're getting close on agreements. I'm seeing drafts flying around here, and do expect that this summer the schools will be in the retrofit mode, taking their infrastructure and adapting it to recycled water, and then we'll be able to get that water finally delivered to the urban portion of the community for limiting our extractions from the aquifer, which is a good thing.
Rob, before you go on to the next item, you said in here, and I'm just saying for the public's benefit, the county is in process of securing a board date and preparing a staff report to amend the county code. Would you just, what they're amending, could you just clarify that?
Yeah, and I would ask Kathy or even Erica if you want to add a little clarity to this enforcement proceeding for the unconnected properties, what that might look like if you know. If not, we can bring that back to a future meeting.
Well, it's amending the county code relative to the enforcement.
Yeah.
That's fine for what I
Good.
Wanted to
Great.
Clarify.
We're continuing to add, for folks who aren't tracking our previous meetings, I'm continuing to include a little statement about Morro Bay and their flows in the executive report in case folks didn't catch the previous minutes. And then we did give a summary of the groundwater pumping for calendar year 2017. We're up about 5% from 2016, all within the CSD's system. And as a CSD, we're looking at that carefully. It seemed to be perhaps somewhat related to all the yards that got ripped up and the reestablishment of landscaping within our service area. And our rates continue to go up, so it's certainly not a relaxation of rates there, but we have noticed a little rebound in our water use in the CSD system. But substantially, the urban groundwater pumping in 2017 was a close match to what occurred in 2016. And that completes my report. I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Yep. Questions? Bill,
I skipped over. I'm sorry when we did that. But we said it. Spoke at the last meeting about, you mentioned that you're going. We're going to do a metric for the upper aquifer. Has that been established or decided what it's going to be?
Yeah, you're going to see more information about that in the draft annual report that Cleith is currently authoring.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah.
Mark. I just had a question regarding the funding and financing of programs. In the last sentence, it talks about the staff engaging in the earworm process for the creek discharge. Can you expand on that just a little bit, just to understand what I know we've talked about it a couple times in past meetings, but has there been any new development with that?
Right. No new development, but we did submit a summary of the project, for want of a better term, maybe a year ago, and that did get included in the list of earworm projects. And it was to do both the upfront work that would be necessary to accomplish that, which, as you recall from previous meetings, was a substantial investment to get that done. Ultimately, that might be an investment that has to be considered here at the community level if we're not successful in securing funds from the earworm. But just to get that over that first hurdle of all of the tracer and the travel time studies, was six figures, a couple hundred thousand dollars worth of investment, which other local communities like Pismo and Morro Bay are making similar investments in those creek discharge water supply augmentation type projects. So that's a decision that will be in front of us at some point.
That it?
Yep.
Okay, we'll go to public comment on the executive director's report. Anybody? Okay, seeing none, we'll close. I don't think we have any other direction. Any more discussion? Okay, Rob, we'll move on.
Sure. Moving on to item 7A, the update on the basin infrastructure projects. The lion's share of these projects are on the same path and schedule that we presented at our last meeting. The most active work products right now include the district's 8th Street Upper Aquifer Well. We had retained a consultant and just received the 50% design from that consultant. Those are construction documents, not conceptual, so we are on track to get that out on the street here in early summer. And district staff and myself are reviewing that draft package. The Golden State Skyline Well Blending Project with nitrate removal continues to function well at that flow rate that we noted, about 160 gallons a minute. And then under Program C, the land acquisition phase of at least one additional expansion well is still ongoing. And some of those you've seen pop up on the district's closed session agenda, so I can't talk about it openly here, but there are certainly some sites being pursued and discussions occurring with landowners for that expansion well. And the graphical schedule you'll see attached to your agenda matches what we had presented at the last time. I did want to give an update to our Zone D&E lower aquifer monitoring well and maybe share a quick display on the screen here. I won't pretend that this is easy to see, but if you'll direct your eyes up to the screen, you know, maybe I'll zoom in. Those of you who know the area of Donna and Lupin and Doris, there's a vacant piece of property that had been used somewhat for construction staging during the course of the wastewater project, as shown in my cursor here. And we are looking at one of two precise locations for the monitoring well. We've met with the driller out there, looked at staging in these areas. And a couple of things that have happened since your last meeting. The first is County Public Works has decided that putting the well within the paved section of the street is not supportable by staff, which when you think about a multi-100-foot hole in the ground in the middle of a paved road, I suppose I ultimately agree with them, though. Yeah, I just couldn't help myself but agree. So they're looking off the side of the road but still in the right-of-way. In order to accomplish that, we will be working with and having discussions with the property owner, because to stage this, we can't do it 100% in the right-of-way. There's just no way. Even if we close the street for a week, there's just too much going on in discussions with the drilling community to pull it all off in the right-of-way. So we've got some potential environmental issues. This site was used for the wastewater project, so we're stepping through that environmental side of the equation. There is one other site if we end up unable to accomplish this one at the county's standby power building near this site, and we're just beginning to understand if that's even viable and haven't entered into detailed discussions with the county yet. So too early to bring you construction bids yet. No, we're now walking through the staging and the permitting of either sites A or B, including whether we have to close Lupin Street for a week to get it actually drilled. So I wanted to give you that status update, but we'll keep you informed on that. And I don't believe there are any other programs to be considered at this time, though I did want to bring up briefly that if ultimately there was a desire to include a discussion of water metering within the basin infrastructure programs, because it's a component of monitoring, it came up briefly at our last meeting. You know, we'd be happy to add that in the future, but at this point, we don't have a monitoring program to meter the unmetered extractions in the basin, but I did want to bring that up if the BMC would like to see that come forward as part of the infrastructure program at some point.
Would that be an agendized item specifically on that?
We would. And when it came up last time, we reached out to our other Sigma areas to see if there was much discussion yet that we could maybe ride on some coattails. And that really has not occurred to a great degree here within the local areas when they're talking about Sigma. Metering is will be discussed when they do the groundwater sustainability plans. And it's really still in its early stages, so not a lot of neighbor input to provide to you today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Rob, just the point of clarification, and I'm just going off memory here, but sure. The Cleith Harris contract was contingent upon the agencies approving the budget, if I recollect, and I know the CSD did. Has everybody else approved that budget?
Yes. The county's got an internal process that they're working through for their small share, but Cleith's been kicked off.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Because, like I said, I know the CSD did, so right. I just wanted to get a follow-up on that.
Correct.
Okay. Any other questions? Okay, we'll take public comment on this item, 7A.
Chuck Cicinia. Rob, do you know if there's anywhere in the state, not just local area, where metering has been attempted? I mean, this is obviously an issue. Probably go to court at some point. Is there any rumblings anywhere along the way? Because, you know, it's been talk. Yeah, it'd be good. It'd be good. It would be good. We should. Coulda, shoulda, woulda. Is there any effort throughout the state, or have we looked that far? Is it just local so far? That's it. Thanks.
Don't look at me. Does any of the... Erica, you want to weigh in on that? Hate to put you on the spot. You don't have to.
She came all this way.
So. I mean, I can comment that there are areas in the state that do meter. Usually they do it. They're within management districts that do it pursuant to their principal acts, like in Monterey County. I think the county probably is in a position to monitor pursuant to its police power. I don't know if any other. I think some counties have done so. Which ones? I'm not entirely sure, but I think most jurisdictions are planning to start metering pursuant to the authorities under Sigma and their groundwater sustainability plans.
Okay,
in the
thank you. Appreciate it.
Good time in.
Okay, we'll close public comment. Bring it back. Anything else?
Yeah. Rob, just I got one comment.
Yeah,
sorry. Just on the. List of our projects, the blending project for Skyline Well, we can probably move that to a completed status. I don't, you know, we're actively operating that plant site now. May want to change the project name a little bit to blending project and sky and Rosina nitrate removal or something of that nature, just so we keep that context there.
Good. Yes, we'll put you in the complete.
Okay.
Thanks, Bruce.
So let me pick up on the metering question. Obviously, a very sensitive issue in the past, but I think the playing field is shifting a little bit, and I'm not averse to that coming as a discussion item at the right time before the BMC. A couple of principles I'd like to just put out there when we think about agendizing it. One of them is, what is the actual benefit to basin management, you know, the quantified benefit to basin management? I know the water purveyors have been interested in this for a while, but we've also been successful so far, I would submit, without individually metering. But I get it that that's an issue. It's possibly something we need to look at. The other sort of concept I'd like to put forward is that to the extent that it is of benefit to the purveyors to help them manage the basin for their customers, the extent to which the BMC or the group of us could provide financial support to those who have to install and subsequently read meters, I think is important. And there are a couple of different concepts here. We maybe we can provide meters to people on a voluntary basis. Maybe we could find some way of actually doing the recording on a voluntary basis to start. But again, obviously the responsibility for imposing meters on those who need them comes to the county. And that's a political issue that is going to require some really good basis to engage. I'm not adverse to, not averse at all to engaging the question, but we really have to set our goals and our understanding of our goals and talk about the financial impact as well. So on that basis, you know, at the right time, I'd like to work with you, Rob, on the county perspective of it. We could get with Erica and find out. In terms of it actually being done, I'm pretty sure that the two California water districts that have formed in the Paso Basin had intended to do metering on their own. That was part of their conceptual idea. So it is an idea that's gaining some currency, and it's something I think we've got to talk about. Second thing is back up in the executive director's report, Rob, I saw that you were talking about new wells in the upper and lower aquifer are viewed as aquifer management and not eligible for grants under Prop 1. And I was just curious, you know, I've been talking a lot about the question of denitrifying upper aquifer water as a new source of drinking water as we start looking at the community plan for Los Osos and the future development. And can we not go back to the idea that anything we pull out of the upper aquifer and treat is actually cleaning up that aquifer?
Yeah. Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. You're astute in that observation. So under Prop 1, after multiple discussions as why our programs prevent, reverse, assist with seawater intrusion, they just couldn't get to the fact that we're pulling it out of the ground and not treating it.
Sure.
And in the upper aquifer, if you're pulling it out and it's over a drinking water level and you're treating it, then it is more grant eligible.
I think, okay.
And the challenge there is the operations and maintenance cost is not. So I'm going to have to calibrate my inflationary. I think it's about $1,000 an acre foot at this point.
Which is not outside the realm.
It isn't. And that's, of course, why both the district and the Golden State are doing that.
Right.
But it is something that's more grant eligible.
And so we have talked a bit about extending upper aquifer denitrification over time, talking cost benefit as a new source of water. And I'd be interested to bring that back also as a discussion item with the possibility of grant funding for the infrastructure, talk about what that means and how it gets phased in time and those sorts of things, because it's just such a direct effect on the lower aquifer by displacing pumping. And, you know, it's just absolutely the most direct way in which we can affect seawater intrusion. And if we can, you know, get some of the cost covered, I think we've got a pass there. So
we can bring that back.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you for promoting him to chair. I heard you say that. So did
guys. No.
I know.
Pleaded.
It was a slip of tongue.
But.
I was looking at you.
He was thanking you for letting me get him.
By permission, sir. Just by permission.
All right. I'm sorry. So item 7B then. Kathy's here to speak, I believe.
Yeah, I'm going to cede my seat to the county. Thanks for that.
Okay, thank you, Rob. So my name is Kathy Martin with the County Public Works. I am discussing the basin bed modification options for Los Osos Basin. And so why are we here? Basically, the new law, the SGMA, has rapid deadlines, many regulations requirements for high and medium priority basins, and Los Osos falls into it. But SGMA does not apply to the adjudicated basin area, but does apply to the areas outside the basin. So these areas are called fringe areas, and we'll go through that a little bit later on. So right here, we're going for a basin about a modification opportunity. And this will help us for regulations. It was effective in 2015. The process allows Los Osos Basin GSA to submit to the state a potential basin boundary modification. The state is the entity that approves the basin boundary request. And with this, we have reprioritization with this. So this phrase, basically, is when, after we submit the material to the state with all the basin characterization studies, they have an opportunity to reprioritize this basin if it's a sub-basin for the Los Osos area. So a sub-basin that is a high-medium priority could be reprioritized to a lower-medium basin. And we'll go through this throughout the presentation, so you'll see more of it. So for the state basin modification, the county pursued this in 2016 and it was denied by DWR due to the lack of scientific information. But this round, the county has hired Cletharis to do a basin characterization study on the fringe areas. And with this study, we were submitting it to the state, and we've been consulting with DWR on this effective approach. So the basin boundary modification milestones. Let me grab the laser pointer. So here we hired Cletharis in June 2017. Then right here, we had the DWR process to submit this application for the boundary change. It's a six-month process. We went to the county board on March 6th to submit the notice of intent to the board, and that was submitted to the DWR last week. From here, we had two public meetings in March. We're having one right now. The next meeting is March 26th. Please come if you want to hear more about geology and hydrogeology of the fringe areas. Then we're asking for letters of support mid-May through mid-March. And these letters of support will go into the county board hearing and to the application package for the state on June 5th. So with these letters of support, too, this will fall into the state, and this will then fall. We also have another commenting period by DWR in July. It's a 30-day period. And then from there, we'll get the draft or final BBMR from them in the fall or winter of 2018. And the county is anticipating that they'll reprioritize, if we get low priority sub-basins, they'll reprioritize them to from high medium to a low priority. And with the low priority sub-basin, it will follow SGMA regulations. And if it's reprioritized to from a high medium to medium priority, the GSP groundwater sustainability deadline is from 2020 to 2022, so we have more time to implement and develop a plan. So the Los Osos fringe areas. So basically, this is the meat of the substance right here. So there's fringe area one in the Eastern Valley through here. So, and there's fringe area three. We have a minor one right here. And then there is the state parks right through here. So basically, the Bulletin 118 boundary by the state is this outline right here, the brown. It goes in through here, goes up through the Morro Bay, and out through here. The plan area for the adjudicated management area is the hatch lines through here. So with this said, for fringe area one, we're pursuing a jurisdictional basin. This, after talking to the state, this is their preferred method to get a sub-basin through here. So with the jurisdictional method, the county needs 3/4 of the local agencies and public water systems in the affected basin to provide a letter of support or a resolution adopted. This is the key to get this area as a new sub-basin, which will affect the entire basin through here. So the close-up of fringe area one, this is the new sub-basin. So Cletharis did a great job in characterizing it. So this is basically a tributary basin, agriculture and rural land use. It's about 2.7 square miles. And to help orientate yourself, here's Turi Road, Los Osos Valley Road, Paradise Lane right here, then the Clark Valley Road. Then the adjudicated management area is right through here. This is a cross section from Spencer Cletharis. This is the alluvial valley through here, fringe area one. The depth is about 100 feet deep, And you see there's a minor connectivity here where first water could flow into Warden Lake from the adjudicated basin area. Now, this geology is a five-layer basin here, which is much different than the fringe area here. This is over 800 feet in depth, too. So with this said, so we have a groundwater contour. So this is the fringe area right here. So you see the groundwater coming through here. It flattens out by Warden Lake right here. So the first water from the adjudicated area, the first 50 feet, is flowing over and going into Warden Lake here. Then the waters converge and they flow out to the bay over here. So with this said, with the adjudicated plan area, we do need to create, since we're doing jurisdictional in the eastern area, we do need a new sub-basin in this plan area here. I'll go through the process of how this could be achieved and get your opinions and thoughts with this. So basically right here is the plan area, and the blue is the Bulletin 118. So for Fringe Area 2, it's the state parks. So it's the state parks right through here. And this is the BMC management area right here. And then we have two fault lines. This is the preferred fault line from the basin plan, which was defined by DWR and Cleith Harris. And other studies have defined this fault line that goes across the end. So the Montana Darrow State Park has two wells inside of it, so hardly any land use. It is sand dunes and terrace deposits on bedrock, and it's uplifted, and it's about 400 feet off the ground. And this area is about 1 square mile. So with this, we're planning to move the state park up to the fault lines. So either the preferred line that's already used in the basin plan, but in case the state has a little pause about going all the way up here, we have an alternative we're going to ask them, see if we can move it through here. So here's the Los Angeles fault line. It'll go straight across through here. So this section below will be removed for the alternative, and for the preferred, it'll be this section down to here be removed. And it's all within the Basin Management Committee. So the third fringe area is the minor fringe area. So basically, the Bulletin 118 hits right here. The BMC management hits right here. So this little yellow dot, which is right over here, is part of SGMA. So we're going to do an external removal here. There's open space. It's owned by the State of California Parks. And over here, this little sliver, about 0.3 acres. This one's 4 acres. We're going to remove this whole area in the red, which is 44 acres. And this is basically, DWR does not approve this as a basin sediment. It's a stream. It is a ocean tidal fluctuation through here, so they don't think this is part of the basin deposits for the main basin. So with this is the final look of how the basins could look. So this is the Eastern Valley area, a new sub-basin. We're calling it the Eastern Valley sub-basin for now. And then we have the Los Osos area sub-basin. So basically, this is the plan area. This is that little 44-acre removal right here, scientifically removed. Then you go through the Bulletin 118 boundary. Then here's the fault line right through here, the preferred line. Goes up through here and goes back. So basically, the Los Osos area as new sub-basin, which we're hoping that you can help us rename it. There's a couple names that have been thrown out there, like the Los Osos eastern sub-basin area. So we're hoping the BMC could help us rename this area through here. By March 26th, we're hoping that residents over there could help us rename this sub-basin area. So next steps for the county, on March 26th, we're having the public meeting. Please attend. If you want to learn more about geology and hydrogeology, the consultant will be there. And please provide letters of support or resolutions by May 17th. I will be talking to purveyors, water purveyors, independently next week to see if I get a letter of support or resolution. Then all this will go into the June 5th board item for the county. So basically, please provide letter supports to us. That is the key for the sub-basin change. And if we'll have the report, the study completed by next week, the basin characterization study. And please provide comments by April 10th to me. And please join our county or DWR email list to see upcoming efforts. And here's my contact information right here. And we appreciate your help in the basin. And please feel free to comment or call me and see what other discussions we need to do on this.
Oops. Okay, the March 26th meeting, you want to give time and place?
Yes, March 26th is at 6 o'clock at the Cal Fire Training Center. I resent a
Sunnyside,
press release.
Sunnyside Elementary, for those of you familiar with that.
Yeah, so that is a beautiful place to have the meeting, March 26th. I will have additional information there. It'll probably be maybe an hour for presentations with Cleith and everyone, going over Sigma again, go over the BBMR, going over the basin and the new studies with it.
And boring people with the geotechnical.
and then there's going to be a quiz on the geology. So
yeah, I just wanted to clarify that. So, and I just wanted to let the board know, but I was at that meeting on March 6th, and I did speak in favor of going forward with the NOI because it was on the consent agenda, but there was a significant amount of discussion by some of the supervisors. So,
yes, we appreciate it. Thank you.
Kathy, I have a question. I asked at a previous meeting for a better definition of the boundary between the second area and our basin management area, where that small line cuts across. Is that in Montana, or is it below that?
For fringe area 2, for the fault line area?
That would be where it abuts our... That line, the dotted line, I guess it would be.
Oh, this line, yes. This is your management plan area right through here.
Right. And so what is it? Where is that dotted line that runs the east-west, that one there?
This one right here?
No, the one that you were just on.
The dashed one here.
That line there. What road is that?
Oh, this is... Oh, I don't know which road. I don't have the roads on this one.
Or is it a road?
I think it's Montana Dairy State Park. Goes up through this area too, so it could be this all-state park area. Because I know it runs into the BMC boundary, the state park does. But I do have a map on our Sigma website at Los Osos, which you can zoom in and look at the roads and where the adjudication is and where the fringe areas are.
Okay, I'll do that then. Thank you.
You're welcome.
And then my other question would be, as a result of this action, would the Basin Management Committee have to go back to court to get revisions to our court order?
No. So we had a discussion with that with the state, and it seems in your ISJ that the groundwater basin, you already follow this line right here in your basin plan, the fault line. So we're not touching that for the groundwater basin. The only thing we would be redoing is excluding this 44-acre here. Basically, is this a residual from their groundwater mapping in the past? So, but we still need to remove it. And from what I've talked to the state, it should be in confines with your groundwater, with the ISJ.
Okay.
So, I guess the way I had sort of the same question, Bill, and I asked Kathy, but what it ends up with is if our adjudicated area is bigger than the basin, no problem. We're managing more than the basin.
Right.
All the state cares about is that we're managing the basin.
Okay.
or that were adjudicated, that part of the basin is adjudicated.
But do court documents have to be at least modified to show what
we're... No, as far as not, it doesn't seem like that, because we're managing what we told the court we would manage, and the state says, well, within what you're managing, you're also adjudicated over this portion of the basin, so you're exempt from SGMA.
Thank you.
The other part of this was, and Kathy, you know, without jinxing this, you have generally positive feedback from DWR about these basin.
Yes, we've been talking for a year now, and we've had a couple meetings with them, and they like our approaches. That's why they preferred a jurisdictional approach for this basin right here. Oops, wrong one. So they prefer a jurisdictional approach instead of doing scientific and cutting it off. So they want a new sub-basin here. That's their preferred approach that we're going to go with to make sure we're successful with this basin try.
And the other question to you, Kathy, is would you be asking the Basin Management Committee as an entity to write a letter of support, or individual purveyors, or both?
Yes. So we have an action item for the Basin Management Committee to have the executive director provide a letter of support, and plus for the jurisdictional to get a new sub-basin, the law requires us to have 3/4 support, which means we need to get letters of support or resolutions, a copy of a resolution from all affected agencies and water purveyors within the system. And that would be great to receive before mid-May. And I'll touch base with you individually after the meetings.
Kathy's going to dog you for it.
And did you mention that there's a study, a characterization study?
Yes, the characterization study. We received some comments from the state last week when we had a meeting with them, so we incorporated the comments into it, and it will be out next week. So it's a basin characterization study that Cleith Harris is finalizing for us. Okay. So it will be a public draft, and we hope to have comments until April 10th. So if we have the comments, we can incorporate them in and have them ready for the board on June 5th.
Okay. And then how will the Eastern Valley Subbasin, how will that comply with the BMC? I mean, will that'll be its own entity?
The benefits for this is the Los Osos Area Subbasin, if you're naming it that, would be its own management by the BMC. And the SGMA, it would be the Eastern Valley Subbasin area, would be the own management. So it's two separate identities for management, which will help with significant for coordination and pursuing other stuff and data for such as grants, I'm thinking.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Yeah, this Eastern Valley would be the county's problem. And hopefully there wouldn't be much we'd have to do, because if it can get back to low priority, it has a much longer timeline for having to be dealt with.
Okay.
Let's not say the county's problem.
it's our pleasure to serve the people of that part of the 2nd District. Yes, indeed.
Okay, so we have any public comment on 7B? Please state your name for the record.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My name is Jeff Edwards. Good afternoon, everyone. And thank you, Kathy, for the presentation. This committee's been discussing basin boundaries for some time, and I'm a little unclear exactly what this is all going to do or how this is going to help us manage our basin. I don't really see that this time we're spending on this, or have spent and intend to spend, is going to help us manage the basin. Clearly a letter, that's easy to do, and supporting the whole concept, I have no problem with that. Kathy, if you could put your timeline back up, I'd like to ask a question. And it relates to money. Cleith Harris Group has been working on this for some time. That's the timeline you have?
Yeah, just a second.
And my question is, presumably this committee was spending money with Cleith Harris Group on the basin management boundary determination early on. But my question is, when did we stop spending money, and when did the county start picking the tab up? Thank you. Oh, and I could have been asleep, but did you do the consent agenda? Oh, okay.
You guys want to respond to that question? Probably Rob might be more.
Yeah, because I have some of the history. So in the first year of this committee, we had a budget line item for basin boundary study and modification, and this committee paid $20,000, $25,000, somewhere in that range, for that study. That was the only expenditure that this committee made. After that, and the request was turned down on a scientific basis, and the state said, no, that little 100-foot of alluvium, somebody has to manage that. And it really put the it put us in a little bit of an awkward position, because we had gone through all this effort to define, here's our boundary of what we think must be managed. And when the state disagreed with us, it put us in a little bit of a strange position. So then the idea was, the county went back and said, now that the county's been given that burden and opportunity, we'll take another run at this. And the advantage to us would be, it clears up that lack of clarity that we have with the state now. So as we pursue further actions that might come under DWR's jurisdiction for grants or for whatever reason, we can now have this be clean, that the management is clear. Because right now it's not. In their mind, the basin's, you know, not fully managed. So we think this would be a good thing.
Thank you.
Okay.
Bruce. Yeah, if I might. And the functional advantage of that is that we have a basin management plan that applies to the adjudicated area. If we get that designation of the Eastern Valley as a sub-basin, we have confirmed that there's no interaction, no significant interaction between those two basins that we have to take into consideration. So it validates our basin management and leaves the Eastern Valley to be managed on its own merits. Separates us. So I think that's a very good thing.
And I would like to add to Rob's point, the Flood Control District did hire Cleith Harris for this. It's to help support SGMA efforts too, because we need a groundwater sustainability plan by 2020. So this is a preliminary report to help fill that in too.
Okay. Anything else?
Well, just that this is an action item, Mr. Right. Chair, so hoping to take staff's action on it.
So are we in support of sending a letter in support?
So roll call.
I'll let my colleagues move.
Yeah, I'd like to make a motion to authorize staff to send in a letter of support.
I'll second that.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Okay. Thank you, Kathy.
Yeah, thanks.
You're off the hook now until next week. Okay, Rob, we'll move on to the next item, conservation.
Great, let me get my... ducks in a row here. So at our last meeting, you might remember that our colleagues at Golden State were gracious enough to put their hand up when I asked for volunteers to help me with the community outreach, and we've been working with Golden State since that time. And what we've done is coordinated with their water conservation team, and we have a community meeting that we'd like to discuss with you, and here in your agenda package we have a suggested date for a meeting, and I'll go through the what we think is a prudent agenda for that. So it would be a Thursday night, June 21st. We don't want to make this too flared and fancy, just more Los Osos style, which is kind of a roll up your sleeves working meeting. And we would it is Los Osos. You heard it here first. So we would talk about the new rebates that are available within the service area. It is our understanding that those rebates are still fundable through county wastewater funds. And we'd go through some of the technical information on the rebates that maybe aren't well understood, things like hot water recirculators and gray water and laundry to garden, those things that are a bit new to folks. Talk about some of the ultra-low flow fixtures that are on the market, the pros and cons there. And even bring in some of the more statewide programs like the turf removal program, which remains funded, and has been used by a number of people in Los Osos with success. And there are still areas that have turf in Los Osos, not as many as there was. And talk about Golden State's process of water auditing and some of the benefits of that. And we thought we'd just do a presentation there of both the overview and the technology, and then reach out to a few vendors or perhaps even local plumbers who might want to help man a booth and talk about what they can bring to the table in terms of opportunity there in Los Osos. So not a long presentation, maybe an hour, and then an hour for questions and answers. And we'd produce some handout materials that would help people understand for the location where they live what programs are available to them. Talk a little bit about the two different approaches to putting fixtures in, which would be to do it yourself and get a rebate, or to the extent that there are people out there pursuing Title 19 retrofits, they may be able to get those completely done, including the labor to put them in, and just wrap that all into a meeting to raise awareness that even though in some people's minds we're not in a drought cycle, here in Los Osos, water conservation is still paramount, and we need to remain vigilant. So that's what we want to pull off, and we'd like to invite, of course, all the participants in this committee, and that's why we're calling this date tentative, though we do know that this facility is available on that evening, and we've got it tentatively booked. And I did attach, which I will in the next few meetings, the list of rebates and their amounts, and those are being advertised on the county's website and are available, and I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Questions? Yeah. Bill, looks like you have one.
No,
I didn't. Oh, I'm sorry.
That down the take.
Mark?
Just a comment also, well, a question and a comment. The cost for this, is this going through the BMC or we didn't really work on some of that? Renting the facility, things like that, is all going through the BMC, is that correct?
Yeah, and the facility is very inexpensive to rent. I think it's $40 or $50 an hour, so it's extremely affordable.
All right. Yeah, and then just to add to your overview of that, I think one of the things that we heard from the community is there's so many rebates out there and that there's boundaries and zones where some of these rebates might apply and might not apply, and we're really trying to develop we thought it would be a postcard type approach, but since it's so vast, it's looking like it'll be a one-page trifold type thing, and so people could really look at that and understand what their best options are for rebates, and so we're working on that right now also.
Okay, thank you. Anything else? Okay, public comment on conservation?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, committee members again. My name is Jeff Edwards, and I've talked about conservation and before you on a number of occasions, and I'm going to be redundant, but we have every purveyor has a conservation program. The Title 19 of the Building and Construction Code has a conservation program, and then there's the rebate program. It's confusing for people, and I think to the extent, and committee member Zimmer just alluded to it, to the extent that we can simplify that, it's going to have a tremendous amount of effect. It's the awareness and the knowing which direction to go that is most important for these customers, and I frankly think they're all confused. The conservation idea isn't that complex. We have toilets and shower heads. Those are the real plumbing fixtures that need to be addressed. We know that there are thousands of 1.6 gallon per flush toilets out there because they were all exempted from any conservation through the wastewater project. We know that there are thousands of 2.5 gallon per minute shower heads. Why we can't organize a program, a singular program, to change those fixtures out and realize instant water conservation, I don't know why we're struggling with this, but it's a large struggle. A request I would have of the executive director, and I don't want to load him up with more work because he does a lot already, But I think it would be instructive to have updates on our bi-monthly meetings about how much has been applied for and conserved under Title 19, a year-to-date number, and then also the rebates. How many rebates have been turned in, and what kind of money's been, just kind of a year-to-date update on those to really get a picture of what kind of conservation's happening and how quickly. Because I think we have, by my account and the account of your executive officer, your executive directors, we have some upwards of 200 acre feet of additional conservation in the community. 200 acre feet. We're using about 1,000 acre feet for urban uses right now. That's an additional 20%, obviously. That's at our fingertips, and I think we ought to access it. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other comments? Okay, seeing none, we'll close public comment and bring it back.
I would approve. I think we should do what Mr. Abbor just told us at some point to see really how it's doing.
I think it's a good idea, too.
Yeah, so that we do have that information.
In your spare time, Rob, you can do that.
Oh, the county will help me because they're the ones that keep track of that.
Right.
Okay. All right. Seeing nothing else, we'll move on to the last item, which is 7D, which is the groundwater basin modeling for adaptive management.
Good. I'm looking at my watch here to make sure we have time for you to be able to participate in here, Mr. Chair. So this is a follow-up item from our last meeting, actually from the meeting before, where we talked about the need to look at our current infrastructure that's either in the ground or is funded and pending, and look at the amount of water we're actually producing from the basin, which is significantly less than what the basin plan contemplated, and do an adaptive management step where we look at the modeled results for using what we've already done or are about to do, and get a sense for what benefits, if any, that, for instance, the third expansion well contemplated in the basin plan for Program C, it's over $1 million worth of expense. Is that really going to benefit us at our current level of production in the basin, or is that something that should be deferred? Should we look harder at the upper aquifer, given its higher level of grant worthiness? Are there course changes that we should be taking now that we've been doing this for a while, and letting the model inform us on that and bring that back for an adaptive management discussion? We budgeted for that this calendar year and received a proposal back to do that from Cleith Harris, and we have that before you here today. I also wanted to reflect back on this issue of a transient groundwater model, because you asked for some pros and cons, at least a preliminary discussion. Now, that cost is well outside the realm of the $10,000 that we budgeted, sorry. But I did want to just begin thinking as a committee and in the public view of what may be the pros and the cons of having a transient model. So just so that folks can understand, if you don't already, the model that we have is what we call steady state, which means it will predict what will happen if we continue the patterns that are occurring right now out into the future indefinitely. And sometimes that model may not converge for decades. So the numbers that you see as model results are really projecting out into the future the same rainfall patterns, groundwater production, and all that persisting over time. Very helpful, but more difficult to assess things like, we're in a drought right now. What do we expect the basin to do as a drought response? Well, we can't really tell you what that would be. We could tell you if the drought persists in perpetuity, or we can provide our best estimates of what the trends might be, but the model really can't do that. Nor can we really tell you necessarily how fast some of these things will happen, because, again, steady state implies long periods of time. So a transient model on its face has these benefits, that it will answer the question of how fast and when things vary, what the short-term effects will be. And those can be nice questions to have answers to. It is a more robust calibration because here you have this more complicated model, more points of calibration, and more data to calibrate to because it's time sensitive. And you'd ultimately end up understanding how this basin responds to differences in conditions with a finer tooth comb than what we have today. So lots of pros, in addition to a very healthy price tag. It's not all rosy. There are a few cons as well. And some of this, you probably already determined this, was written by Spencer, not by me, or he helped me with it. And some of it gets quite specific in the technical language. But it is difficult to accurately come up with a transient model. You are taking a simplified view of the world, and you're adding more bells and whistles to it. And whenever you do that, you run a risk of having a model that is very difficult to reflect reality. So that will be a potential con for this approach. And for the big questions of how do we achieve sustainability, in some ways, a steady state model is almost the definition of sustainability. It's what we're going to do over a long period of time, making perhaps moot some of the short-term issues because we really should be looking long-term. And then, of course, the overall caveat, you have to invest a lot of dollars, time, and effort. And we know from other places in the state that sometimes transient models really hit the mark, and other times they really just can't seem to calibrate. And so you're always saying, well, here's what we think will happen. The basin responds a little differently, and you're losing credibility with the model. So it's not the be-all, end-all, and we need to go in with open eyes. So at this point, we've got $10,000. We think this adaptive management step is prudent to do. But if this committee wants to continue to hear about the funding and the consideration of a transient model, we're happy to bring that back. And that concludes my report.
Any questions?
So what happens with, we approved $10,000 for Cleith to do this work, and so if we don't do the transient model, where do we pick up and leave off from here? What's the next steps?
So everything in Cleith's scope of work, which is attached, is included in the $10,000. Okay. So all of the review of the wells and the infrastructure that are in place, comparing those to what the model is predicting in terms of trends, looking at the basin metrics and the actual production that's occurring within the basin, all of that is included for the $10,000. It's a complete package for those items. The reason I brought forward the transient model is because when we talk about adaptive management, folks want to talk about what happens if we go through a drought for 2 years, and I want to be transparent that that's not what we're doing. We're looking at infrastructure over a steady state with sustained production at current levels.
Be a little more specific. Is the CWAT that we're talking about, is that that's a program, right?
For yeah.
Is that one that we would have to purchase?
No, we already use CWAT as part of the current groundwater model.
Okay.
Yeah. It has more capabilities than we're currently using.
Okay.
That's included in Cleith's cost.
Yeah, no, that was my question because it talks about the model and then it talks about mod flow and SWI2. So we're using the most efficient modeling program, is that it?
Yeah, and that cost is included in the price. We don't pay for the software, okay. And we don't own the software. I wouldn't know how to run the
that
model.
That just went over my head, that one section.
I know, it was great, I know.
Any other questions?
Let me just say I appreciate you looking into it, but I agree cost-benefit isn't quite there yet, and part of it is, do we have enough observations on this basin to really make a transient model work right now?
Well,
maybe
said.
In time, but thanks for the analysis.
Thank you.
Okay. All right. We'll go to public comment on 7D, the groundwater basin modeling for adaptive management.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Jeff Edwards. The Los Osos groundwater basin is is one of the most studied basins, I think, on the planet. There are volumes and volumes of information that we have, and Cleith Harris has produced most of it. They've been paid hundreds of thousands of dollars. I don't support another nickel for this at this time. Perhaps when we get down the road a year or two, or more like 5 years from now, when we have a new program C well in the ground, and program B nitrate removal, and we're pumping the upper basin, see what kind of yield that is actually going to have. It's premature. We need more facilities on the ground before we go anywhere near this. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other comment? Okay, seeing none, I'll bring it back. I don't think there's any action required on this.
There is. The action would be to, if you so desire,
I'll
to...
I'll move staff's recommendation on this. On the scope.
Okay, on the scope, correct.
Scope it to 10,000.
Oh, okay.
I'm sorry, I misunderstood that. I'm not looking at the agenda now where it says that. So
I'll second that.
Okay, motion second. Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Okay.
Aye.
Opposed? Oh. Passes unanimously. Okay, last item on the agenda is public comment for items not appearing on the agenda. So anybody have something they'd like to talk about that's not on our agenda?
Oh. Thank you again, Mr. Chairman. Jeff Edwards. I think there are a number of things that ought to be on coming agendas. We didn't get a creek discharge update today, but I'm feeling that that project is slipping in priority, and I think that's a mistake. I think we need to move forward on that. The $10,000 you just spent could have gone to the creek discharge analysis. That's where the money should go, in my opinion. On this agenda, we don't have the delivery of treated water to dryland farmers. It was on the last agenda. Where is it? What's happening? I've talked to coastal staff myself, and they do not support polo fields, not ag. That's where 50 acre feet of the 81 acre feet's going, to a polo field. Did you know that? Were you aware of that? For the Judge property. Then there's the pot across the way. They're asking for, I don't know, 10 acre feet for the May property. So are we gonna take our precious water and grow pot and play polo? I think not. I'd like to see that back on this agenda. I'd like to see a stake driven through its heart. It's not going to be a requirement of the coastal permit at the end of the day. I can assure you of that. So let's get, in my opinion, we have a lot of things on our agenda that, you know, are kind of important, you know, so-so, boundary determination. Let's get some hard-hitting things on, like this ag component. Some other things. Has anybody talked about the $10 million that's going to get sucked out of this community because the county settled the ARB lawsuit? That was $10 million for our water projects. It's gone. So are we going to have a talk about that or confer? I think that's important. I don't know to what extent your committee members are familiar with our resource management system of our county general plan, but I would encourage you to read that. Los Osos Water Supply and Systems. I would submit to you, and well, by way of background, the water supply, as you may know, is under a level severity 3. Mm-hmm. You've heard that. The system is a 0 or a no severity. I think they've got it backwards. We have a supply, a safe yield of our basin of 2,450 acre feet right now. Our demands are on the order of 2,170, call it 2,200. We're under our safe yield. That would indicate to me that the supply aspect of that is maybe a level 2, certainly not level 3. And yet, to not have a level of severity at all in our system, which is really, I think, what our problems are, it's a management-based situation, we need to put our wells in the right places.
Okay,
and that's a system aspect.
Bring it to a conclusion, please. Your time's up. Thank you.
So I'd encourage committee members to read the resource management system for the county. There's a lot of figures in there or simply aren't accurate. I think that also carries over into the community plan. The numbers are all important when we're talking about managing the basin, and I'd encourage you to do that. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other public comment? Yep.
Good afternoon, Chuck Cicinia. I kind of like the idea of, again, revisiting the recycled water contracts. I just don't think that should happen. But also, I'd like a bigger picture look at what is going on at planning and development at the county in terms of permit requests for teardowns of shacks and taking water rights from one lot to another to build a house three times the size of the one that's being torn down? Or how many bedrooms are we adding cumulatively through all these little piecemeal things? We're starting to see a lot of roofs left intact, just enough walls to hold that roof up, and places mushrooming right down the street from you, Marshall. Is there a big picture that's being looked at and aggregated? Because we're going to have to take all this to the Coastal Commission at some point. Which permit's going to be the one that triggers that big picture? Is it on Mitchell? Thank you.
Thank you. Any other comment? Oops. Okay, seeing none, we'll close and then we'll adjourn. Thank you.